We're live. We are up. I'm running. Let me shut the door. My child doesn't need to hear this.
He didn't even say hello to us before he did that, did he?
No, all business. All business. All go, you know. That's how it should be. You gents okay? Bruce, what are you drinking? Foster's?
No, Pepsi tonight. I had enough last night.
No, that's more alcohol content than a Foster's anyway. So you're doing all right?
I'm on Ribena, my second great love.
Also, am I?
Yes.
Oh, I will make you laugh though before we start with all the sad stuff.
That's a big clap.
I'm on straight vodka.
I was at a do last night, and me and Maisie yesterday at the town game, we walked out on about was it 80 whenever the fifth goal went in.
Oh, that's dedication.
We stayed through the fourth. Yeah, I've left anyway. Yeah, we stayed for most of it, but the fifth went in, and I was just like, oh fuck it, we're off. I'm out tonight. Maisie was at my mum's, and we were out at a do. But there was a scrap at the do, and it got closed up early at 11, and it should have been midnight, so we had to go home early from that as well. What a day!
Who was scrapping? Was it anything good over anything decent?
No, I don't really know. It was lots of pushing and shoving, to be honest. I don't know, but yeah. But like I say, I was just chuckling early when I was laid on the settee, thinking about how I'd left that early, and then my night ended early as well. So I couldn't even get as pissed as I would have done to drown my sorrows.
Well,
what was the deal?
Everyone seems very excited today.
It was an 80s and 90s night.
If you're listening to it live, do say hello. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Good to hear from you. There's 150 of you listening so far, which suggests everyone is keen. But this is your safe space. This is your cathartic area. We've done our best to try and make it as accommodating as possible. So, you know, if you want to rant, send anything in, feel free to. We've rented out a padded cell if you need to go and sit in one and throw yourself about. We've, you know, rented out an internal void so you can scream into it. We've even rented Flamborough Head for an hour. So if you want to throw yourself off that, much like Town's Form, then you'd be more than welcome to. We're here to offer and cater for everybody's needs, if that helps. Apparently not.
You were talking to the general public then, weren't you? Did you want us to say something?
Well, given Sam's emotions at any time, I assume the Flamborough Head one might be a decent one for him.
I'm a bit concerned about Rich. Rich has never been so active in the WhatsApp, in the pod WhatsApp. We need to get him on the pod tonight, to be fair.
I didn't know he was still in the group.
the last couple of days, so like you say, rarely here, and then it must have been the straw that broke the camel's back, I think.
But there are so many of you. Let's just say a quick hello to everyone and we'll get started in earnest. Ben's put up a popcorn emoji. It might not be that bad, Ben. Mark says, after yesterday, I'm 100% confident that Town goes against the Geneva suggestions. I assume you mean conventions. Daniel Lyons says, here we go. Stephen McDade says, evening all, this should be fun. It's been more fun than yesterday, Stephen. Daniel Lyons says, evening lads. Simon Hudson says, good evening all Town, aren't we? Are we, Simon? Are we, or are there some people that aren't all Town? Let you ruminate on that. Josh says, with that delay you had there, we would have let in a goal. I don't know if there is a delay, Josh, let us know. It might be Sam. His internet's always shocking. Daniel Lewis says, evening chaps, evening Dan. Josh, evening to you, and evening to everybody else, because this could be a lot of fun. Get your thoughts in as well, please, because you don't want to just hear us old sods.
Because we chat shit, basically. And the listeners have usually got more sort of common sense and interesting things to say than we do.
The players get the pod they deserve. That's all I will say.
Old sod, speak for yourself.
You're old at heart, Sam. We all know that.
Yeah, we all know you were born in 1950. You're just not aged.
Yeah.
You were born at the same time Bruce was born.
Was it Benjamin Button? Was that the film?
No, he was
the other way around? Was he old before he was? Was he old when he was young?
He played for Derby, didn't he?
More age about a line. Blake Lively. She.
No, you're thinking of the Italian keeper, aren't you? Benjamin Buffon.
Which Buffon means clown. There we go. Did anyone do anything nice this weekend? Anything at all?
Well, you know, Bruce went to that 80s, 90s sort of event. I didn't put him up for modern music.
Here we go.
Do you like all that modern stuff, do you, Bruce?
I'll tell you what, I would go back to that. If someone gave me a time machine, the 90s is where I would go. Time were good. Music was decent. I think, like you say, I do live in the past.
You were still badly. Working.
Tony Blair was in government.
When did I start work? I started working in 1994 when I was 19 and I was a lazy shit.
I was 8.
I had a boss that was ex-military and I did not live up to his high standards. But he did, to be fair to him, he did sort of drag me up my bootlaces and sort of made a little bit of something of me. And then I've let it all go to pot again since. But yeah, it was good. It was a good decade. It was a good decade.
It was a good decade. People
weren't offended by so much then either.
I'll tell you what offended me. That fucking 90 minutes.
Which one?
Yeah. Shall I tell you what did annoy me, Bruce? Getting halfway around the M25 and finding out that game was called off. I got to pass South Min services. In fact, you know that GIF you tweeted, Mike, outside like Lee Valley? That was the junction I got off to turn around.
The fucking M25.
I bet you still got home happier when we hadn't lost, but you've wasted a journey than most people.
I tell you something. We might look at that as a godsend at some point, don't it? We might look at that as an absolute godsend that we've had to delay that because we would have got annihilated, I would imagine.
Do you know what? I'd forgotten all about that with everything that's gone on. I'd forgotten.
Yeah, there we are. Where's the background music, Josh? Oh, we can put some background music on. What do you want? Terrifying? You know, like someone going upstairs to find the serial killer.
I think every day I love you less and less would be a good lyric at the moment, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Stairway to Heaven.
I predict to riot. To be fair, if you carry that on, it's maybe sort of like the Simpsons, isn't it? It's maybe sort of leading to where we're going. But
what kind of alternatives? So we did have a chat online about what music should town come out to, given the atmosphere is pretty dire. I mean, it would help if your team doesn't concede 21 goals in 5 home games, but that's not the real problem, as you know, Artel and Harry Clifton have said. The fans need to not boo, not after the 3rd, 4th, or 5th goal, or even 6th goal. You know, all in it together.
Things can only get better.
They did. We did have rousing. Sam wasn't. You weren't there yesterday, Sam, were you?
No, I wasn't. East Coast main line was shut.
We did have rousing music right up till kickoff. Actually, we pumped it.
Listen, you're making it.
The fans, Rob. They pumped out some. They pumped out some banging sort of music right up till kickoff, and then we conceded after 4 minutes or whatever it was again.
Yeah, Anti-Lunch said they played Sweet. Anti-Lunch told me they were playing Sweet Caroline just before.
They did. They tried to do it, but unfortunately, the dressing room walls must be thick.
Hannah says, "How about Angry Mob, Bruce?"
Yeah, I think that's what she's on about the angry mob in the Simpsons. I think What?
It's a Kaiser Chiefs song.
There is an angry mob in the Simpsons as well, though, isn't there?
Is everybody drunk? Right, let's get this on.
Open wide for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be on a stand more than my life around here. They're going crazy.
Hey, they got plenty here. They've been fish flying about there. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece of football!
A really, really good goal. You can't make it straight for that.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the DM35 podcast, your only entertainment on a weekend as a Grimsby fan, because sure as shit, those useless fuckers aren't doing it. Right, let's go. Town got hammered again. all is well. I assume David Artell assumes we're still not getting relegated. We had a game called off at Colchester for you poor fuckers who had to travel all the way down from the A46. I'm joined by Sam, Bruce and Mike and all of you out there who want to bring in their stuff. Matt Woods comes in and says the Sweet Caroline itself deserved a 5-1 hiding. Matt, what the hell did they play against Walsall? That's what I want to know. Right. Have at it. What the fuck was that?
It's time to go, as Claude famously said on AFTV.
Are you talking about your WhatsApp for the town or the politics?
I've never known it unravel quite as quickly as this, but we are. Mike's done. I'll let the other two guys have done some pretty good research on the for stats, but I can. I've never felt like this. I never actually.
You haven't seen it yet, Sam.
But once
don't say it's good. This is me and Mike you're talking about. Sorry to interrupt, but don't say it's good until you've seen and heard it.
Sam, don't make promises me and Bruce can't keep.
Anyway, but they can put some more flesh on the bones, I think, of what I'm about to say. We are as bad now as I can ever remember. This is as low as I have been as a Grimsby Town fan. And even in the sort of dark days of nothingness in the conference, I didn't feel as miserable as I do about it at the moment. We're just... What has he managed to do? There's all sorts of layers of culpability here. Hurst is obviously partly culpable because he's signed these players. The players themselves have thrown two managers under the bus, basically. Artell's certainly culpable. And then you've got to look, the ownership has to come under some sort of scrutiny. Now, I'm more forgiving of that than some people, given that given you can get appointments wrong, you just can. And they haven't done this before, so it's the first time they've done it. So you're willing to forgive them the mistake, but they certainly have to review the whatever it is, the thorough process of the thorough process when they appoint Artell's successor, as they're going to have to sooner, preferably sooner rather than later.
Bruce, is everything okay? We've got 9 games away from home coming up. Surely we'll get at least, 27 points from that, given our incredible away record. Surely everything's all right, isn't it?
Well, we've only played away once since the new year, haven't we? And that was a draw.
Bruce! What a draw!
But it wasn't great. It wasn't pretty, but it was an half decent result. So I'm genuinely interested to see what we do on Saturday at Morecambe. And now you might have a spoiler and you say we're going to lose and whatever, that's fair enough. But our form, our home and away form is very different. And we have only lost once under him. We've just had this run of home games where we've been absolutely bloody appalling. And it's just, I don't know. Yesterday, I just couldn't believe it was happening again. You had the Walsall, and the debacle, and then you'd let in 5 against Notts County, and you just like you said, 21 goals in 5 home games. It's just absolutely absurd. Are you ready for me to just rumble straight into what I've looked at? Because you are talking about goals, and this is really what
I
have done some research. We've conceded since the new year 21 goals from 29 shots on target.
What?
We've conceded 21 goals since the new year from 29 shots on target at 72% of shot. A parent from Maisie's Football said to me, he goes to probably 2/3 of the home games, said to me, around Christmas time, I've not seen this keeper make a save. Everything that they hit seems to go in. And you think back to these recent run of defeats. You've all watched them, even if you've not been there. How many saves has he made? People used to criticise Macca, didn't they? But he wasn't perfect, like most keepers aren't at this level. But there were 2 or 3 saves generally that you could talk about after a game that you would remember. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, are we just giving up chances that are so easy that they're not missing, But then, having said that, yesterday, what did the guy hit that first one from? Was it 25 yards? Outside the box, wasn't it? But yeah, so since Christmas, since the new year, Town have scored 9 goals from 23 shots on target at 39%. And the opposition have scored, like I say, 21 from 29 at 72%. You go back to Artel's first 6 games in charge, we scored 8 goals from 22 attempts, and the opposition scored 7 from 33. So we were at 36% and they were at 21. And that's gone up to 72. We're giving up the same number of chances in games, but we're conceding 50% more of the shots on target.
I think it's the standard of the chances we're giving up, Bruce, to be honest with you. Because there's one or two examples I can think about, Cartwright, but I can't recall many. And I just think it's the quality of our defending that's just giving them great chances. You know, we're getting cut through us, and it's usually a one-on-one. You know, it's usually a shot in the box. And it must be the standard of the chance we're getting, because it's like there's no defence there. I mean, you watched on Saturday, and was it their second goal? You know, they just played it round us like we're not there out from the back. And like there's Mar charging out of defence over the halfway line, not winning the ball. Then you've got Tharm doing it. You know, you've got
Tharmless.
And then you've got Smith having to run over to the other side of the pitch to try and cut the ball off. And they just walk through us. It's just ridiculous. Just,
like I say, that's ridiculous, though, isn't it? To concede with 29 shots on target, you scored 21 goals.
It's I keep hearing people bang on about get Mar on it. He gets nowhere fucking near it. Is probably the best thing. How the hell he misses? Lets the player get goal side of him for the second, and then also lets him beat him to it. Is absolutely pathetic. I mean, they're all shite, but you know, I thought I'd just get that one in there because he doesn't seem to.
Doncaster scored 5 times yesterday from 4 shots on target.
Yeah. And they hit the post.
I mean, that's I've got a percentage on here of greater than 100% for Doncaster. Walsall had 7 shots on target and scored 6. Notts County had 9 shots on target, scored 5.
What do you think it is? Do you think it's a shit keeper or?
I think it's everything. I think it's the whole shebang. He's not pulling off any blinding saves, is he?
No, I think that's the quality of the chances we're giving up, mate. I think we're just letting teams score.
Every chat. There was one from outside the box yesterday, wasn't it? Which was shit. But I mean, I just think the whole. I think like it points to what you're going to talk about. I think, you know, I think the goalkeeper isn't great, and his defence is awful. And the transfer window's gone. I personally. I'm worried. I don't know what we bring somebody else in. But I mean, I have to say, if we did change it, you might think that you'd bring somebody in who focused on defending. And like we said before, you normally expect a new manager to come in, don't you, and try and defend. But hasn't he already said somewhere, did I see that? We're going to have to sort of go for it because we can't defend effectively.
No, well, I noticed yesterday, and I think he touched on this after the game, is we were playing slightly differently. We were giving the ball to a split centre back, and the ball was going into the channel a lot more. They weren't pinging the ball into midfield as much as they have been doing. So they were playing a little bit more pragmatic, which looks to be a bit of a change. But even then, you know, we've conceded 5 goals at home against a team that's a couple of points above us. That's just, if that doesn't set alarm bells off, that's the building burning down. You know, that's a big issue. And if we are playing a little bit more pragmatic and we're still conceding 5 goals, then I don't know what the hell the solution is, because we can't defend. You know, you've got issues with the keeper. Right? I think there's bigger issues than Cartwright, but it's a fair point, Bruce. But the middle of the park, it's just weak as shit. And the amount of goals that we concede with them just cutting through us. You know, they don't need more than 2 or 3 chances to score 2 or 3 goals. I don't know what you can do about it other than packing the midfield and just trying to shut up shop.
10 men behind the ball and ground out. That's what we're going to have to do.
But they can't do that. No, I have no faith they can do that.
Well, they can. Players. We can get someone. That's true, isn't it? Because if they could do that, Hurst would have got them to do that, wouldn't they? So. Because then one thing Paul Hurst could do, it was set up a side that was going to be difficult to beat and resilient and he couldn't get a tune out of this. We're in massive trouble. I mean, it's a good job if we've got that six point cushion, because we're going to need it. I mean, I don't see where the next point's coming from. I mean, he keeps banging on about this, the waveform's fine. It's not. It was a decent draw at Accrington, don't get me wrong. But then we beat an appallingly bad Salford. But the game before that could have been a cricket score at Mansfield if they'd finished their chances. So he's kind of defending, got to get something to defend him. It's just not there. And another point I'd like to make is that these, we're getting battered every single week, but not kind of getting battered in terms of the possession and the games. So that kind of suggests a fairly weak mentality that makes us flimsy in the big moments. And this is, if you go back to the, I don't want to bang on about, but the dying days of Hurst weren't like this. We were losing five games by fine margins. Donny was a goal, Colchester was a goal, Stockport was a goal, Accrington was two, but with the better side before the red card.
Let's not just reel off the fixtures, eh?
Yeah, okay.
We've got a lot to get through.
Sorry. That's no problem.
He's got a good memory, though. I've erased all those goals from memory already.
I get your point though, Sam. You know, the position
you've only got a limited amount of memory, Bruce. That's the problem. You've only got a certain amount of memory strife for the goals conceded, and all of the ones under Arteta taking it up, and it's flashing red.
My memory, half, three quarters of my memory, still got Tony Rees doing back heels and stuff in it. And but I was just thinking, just before you were, I know it's not really what we're talking about, but I think you need to. I watched the, I put the sound. I always put the sound on for the credits at the start. We need an alter one. You know, like the Laughing Mariner, you used to have the one where he was pissed off. We need pod credits that reflect the mood of the pod. So, you know, we're like, we need to get John Moore on some sound bites. Oh, for fuck's sake. And things like that, you know, again, you know, not again, Mar.
What do you want? Something like, do you want like Two Tribes and like the pictures of the poll tax riots and, you know, burning down people and, you know, the Vietnam with napalm going down on poor innocent villagers, that sort of stuff.
I think that might be a touch extreme.
On footballers.
Well, at least if it's our lot firing, they'd fucking miss.
But just to go back to what Sam was saying, I get his point, you know, it was time for Hurst to go and nobody's revisiting that. That don't confuse that to what this is. But
even I would dispute that. Yeah.
We're losing games by 3-4 and against Walsall 5. This isn't fine margins. This isn't 6. A bit of luck. You know, no, but 5-goal difference, you know. We're losing games by big scores. And you're thinking to yourself, how do you turn that around? And we might talk about this later. I genuinely don't think he can. I don't see how you can arrest a slide as bad as this. As I say, it's not the odd goal or we're in games. We're just getting battered at home, absolutely battered every week.
Right. So these are the things that people are saying. Phil Blake says the midfield offer no protection, no options and no creativity. That's where the majority of the issues are starting from. And they finish with the goalkeeper and the defence. The midfield are being asked to play tactics that they're not comfortable with or not being good enough to compete with. It's taking them out of position. The team are running riot. We sold Conte and it's all fallen apart. He protected the defence and started their attacks. His replacement has already spent five of the EFT times out injured. Thing is, Mark, though, is, yeah, I'm sure we are missing Conte, but we weren't fucking flying. We were still in this position with him here as well. So, I know, we lost six. Didn't he play during the 6-1 Warsaw defeat?
Yeah.
It's no different.
And the five five, but he had a good game. He had a good game in the 5-5, oddly.
He worked out to make a pass, didn't he, that went forward.
Yeah,
he'd been playing rugby union until then.
I think losing Conte has given us more issues than we had. I'm not saying that it was perfect when he was here, but I think it's created a problem. We already had lots of problems when he was here, and we've now got more.
Yeah, because greening up to it. If you want to play, if you want to be receiving the ball, well,
Clifton. I love the guy, but he has been nowhere near the level is expected of him all season. He runs around like a lost chicken, a headless chicken. He doesn't have the ability to get back to defend his man. How many times did he lose the ball yesterday with simple passes and then Doncaster went on the attack to score? He has been a legitimate... Yeah, and he missed the City. He has been a weakness for too long, and the fact that he's one of our own, he gets far more protection against anybody else. I don't want to see Clifton in the squad. I don't want to see Green in the squad. I have no idea what Holohan has done to David Artell. Maybe told him his ramblings are fucking boring as shit, and that's why he's been kicked out. But he needs to be in that squad because he might be inconsistent, but at least he can give you an 8 out of 10 game once in a while, which is going to be the points that we need to stay up.
We've got a midfield that don't do anything. You know, so Green is this, people have this impression of Green, and I fall into this, is he's a battler, he gets in there, he scraps. And when you watch him, he doesn't do much of that. None of them are particularly good on the ball. None of them are particularly good out of possession. And none of them are particularly good at tracking people back. So you've got, they might be okay at certain bits, but none of them have a niche. You know, they're all a bit shit at everything, really. You know, and you're looking yesterday and you're trying to keep hold of the ball in midfield. You've got Andrews taking a touch, thinking he's got all day. Somebody nips past him. I'm fed up of seeing that this season.
Again. Remember that one where was it Colchester when he did that lazy flick and then just gave up on the run and then they scored the third. He's shit as well. He shouldn't be anywhere. They're sort of team players that should be nowhere near this team. They should be playing for fucking Dorking because that's all they're good for. They don't have the mentality. They don't have the ability and they think they're better than they are.
Green's done it, Clifton's done it. They play the ball into midfield, they take a touch, say, right, I've got all the time in the world. You haven't, because teams know if we've got the ball in the centre of the park, press on them, get into them, because they can't retain it. And most of the chances we give up are from our possession in the middle of the park being just lazy or poor on the ball.
A couple of people have said about Alex Hunt, I've got to admit, I think Alex Hunt is one of those players that improves the less he plays. I think he's quite weak. And I think I compare the two teams yesterday and how much Doncaster wanted that. They battled us. They beat us. They beat us into submission. And I don't think Alex Hunt would be up for that. I'm, again, technically gifted, but is not up for the rigors of a relegation League Two battle, in my opinion.
No, I agree. Just really quickly, I think if you're wanting to arrest it, the only thing you can do is put Thompson and Houlihan in midfield as a two and say, just sit there. Don't overcommit. You're holding that area. And then you can put Hunt in a three as somebody that can get on the ball. So you don't just have three people that can't do anything really with the ball. I mean, that's a bit unfair on Houlihan. But Hunt's ability on the ball is far in excess of anybody we've got in there. So that's the only way I can see is trying to solidify that midfield with those two holding players and just, you know, try and play down the flanks. Because if we open up in the middle, we just get walked through every time.
There's so many. Bruce, what are your thoughts? Are we just ranting into the air and stuff we've already talked about? I just don't know.
I think... I don't know. You're going back to... You've moved quite swiftly through most of the team between you and Mike in the last couple of minutes. But going back to the Clifton thing, there was one incident yesterday that I was sat chatting to a mate of mine, and he was of the same opinion as you two, that he's not sure. But I said, well, managers keep picking him. No matter what we say, managers keep picking him. And the same with Alex Hunt, that managers keep, he went to Oldham after he'd been with us on loan and didn't tear it up. And then he went back to Wednesday, then he's come to us and, Hurst couldn't sort of find him a place in the team regular, and Artell's not. And now I know you'll say, we didn't do very well last season. We were mid-table-ish, but Clifton keeps getting picked. But there was one moment yesterday where, you see, where he chased down a long clearance in front of the main stand, I think in the first half, and he got a toe end past the defender and was sort of in on goal. And then the final ball wasn't good enough. There was a couple of players that got up into the box, and I think he caught the first man with it. And I said to my mate, that just sums him up in one. None of our other players would have got to that ball that he got to. But then once he got there and he got into a position, he didn't quite have the ability in the final third to do what he needed to do. I still would have him in our team needing grafters because, yes, his levels aren't at what they were, but I don't think we've got a plethora of quality players to bring in. Is it a case that, like we've had before, where players that are sat on the bench get better because the team's doing shit?
We've got some Champions League winners on the bench at the moment.
I think he's a sort of player, Bruce, you could put in midfield and say, right, I'm not bothered what you're doing further up the pitch. You know, he'll run and he'll tackle and he'll be involved in there. And if you want him to do less on the ball and you're trying to solidify that midfield, you could put him with a Thompson or a Houlihan and he'd probably do a job. Problem is, when he gets involved further up the pitch, he doesn't have that quality, as you say.
Not consistently. Last year, he chipped him with goals, didn't he? You know, he was scoring, you know, some good. Yes, he's always going to miss stuff, but most midfielders do. But I just think we've got problems all over the pitch at the moment. And
can I? Yeah, sorry, mate.
No, go on. I was going to ramble anyway. Go on.
So I'm going to give you the 2021 last game of the season team where we lost 3-0 to Cambridge United. Tell me if you'd replace them with the current player in that position. In goal, James McEwen.
Have him looking at heart.
But... yeah, keep him.
Right back, Luke Hendry.
Way better than what we've got now.
Elliot Hewitt.
I think it's harsh on the fullbacks because we've not seen enough, but yeah, keep.
Matty Pollock.
Yeah, both of those.
Yeah. Rolling many essay.
Oh, he was good. Yeah, I'd have him. God, this Giles, isn't good, is it?
Giles Coke in midfield. I think at that time, the one that he was playing...
His legs have probably gone by then, haven't they?
Oh, I don't know. I thought he was all right at that time.
This is the team that ultimately got relegated still, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not the side
They can't be that good because we didn't... You know, we didn't turn it around quick enough, did we, in that
I'm picking those individual players in the positions they are.
Okay.
I would have picked Giles Coke because I think didn't he earn an extra year off the performances he gave in that season?
Yeah, we've talked about missing some leadership, and there's a couple of examples that season I remember where he epitomised it. You know, he was, after a couple of full-time whistles, he was rolling around on the floor because he was absolutely out on his feet when we got some results. And that sort of, that was the leadership you'd probably want, yeah.
Central midfield, this might be the only one. Luke Spokes?
No.
I would have Holohan or whoever. Clifton, young Harry Clifton. I'd have that Clifton over the one we've got at the moment. Evan Corey. I can't believe he played, actually. No. Matt Green.
We were already relegated, though, weren't we? So maybe we're just giving him a game.
Yeah, Matt Green. And then John Lewis up front.
No.
Mattesi was suspended, wasn't he? But he'd have played if he was available. And he'd definitely get in this team.
I'd have Vernon and Rose over those front two.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought Issa was appalling yesterday. Absolutely appalling.
Again. And exactly the reason why he got relegated with Scunny. He's a one-trick pony. He can smash it hard like Peter Kay can in a John Smith ad, and that's it. The guy needs to go. Send him back down the M180 to the bean tin and have him there.
I think that's a bit unfair. I think he's a 1 in 3 player. He's terrible.
Yeah, he's terrible either a 1 or a 3 out of 10. I agree, Sam.
No, I think he has value because he does make stuff happen. But there
he
are
can make a cracking tea.
Okay, we'll agree to disagree on that one.
What I'd say, Sam, is he does contribute going forward, but he doesn't going back. And also, I can't remember the last time I've watched a game. Like, I've watched Vernon over the last couple of games with his appearances, and he's got hold the ball and tried to do something. Every time Issa's done that, I don't think he's been objectively poor, but he's not done anything with it. You know, he's not beaten a man, got a good ball in, and that I can remember. And, you know, the position we're in, we need our stronger players in terms of the players up the pitch to be doing that. Because if we're shipping 2 and 3, we need to be scoring 4 and 5.
Wasn't, I would say, Mike, as a wide forward, that you would expect he's got to be creating and scoring. You know, you would expect that he doesn't score as many as Danny Rose does, but as a wide forward, he needs to be getting assists. And we've said that for a long time. I don't remember him. I'd be really surprised if he's got more than 2 or 3 assists this season.
Wasn't he getting a bollocking yesterday? Wasn't he getting a bollocking yesterday because he wasn't tracking back?
From Hume, yeah, for the third, I think it was.
Yeah.
I thought that might have been a little bit unfair because we lost possession and he was up the pitch. I think Tham lost the ball, didn't he? Sort of midway in our half on the touchline. And I couldn't see where he was to see if he was tracking back, but he definitely got a mouthful from Hume.
We just generally give it away so cheaply. Mm. The whole team gives the ball away and then you get a turnover. And they're in, you know, and you're turning on your heels, and usually the midfielders, you know, their midfielder that wants to get in the box has got a bit more desire than the person that wants to defend, and you're in the shit. And just the whole ethos and makeup of the squad is just, and that's on Hurst. That's not on, you know, I mean, I'll tell, yesterday, I don't know if you noticed on TV, but there were two or three occasions because we changed so many players at the back. I mean, we had, you know, three of the back four were new in the transfer window. There were two or three occasions where two players went for the same ball, which is not great. A couple of, well, there was one occasion where they took each other out. Yeah. We need to stop the ball. So you need to stop these teams coming through midfield. They're just cutting through us. We're not getting beaten. We're not getting beaten with long. You think about all the goals we concede, and I mean, this is just coming to me as I'm talking. But it's not long. Nobody's playing direct against us. They're passing through us, and they're running past us, and they're getting balls into the box, and they're having more. So do we? You know, I know we would have moaned like mad at Paul Hirst, but do we need to play 4-5-1? You know, just start with something that. Like I saw, I think it was Ben Bristow put on your messages that you put up. And I've said it, the last two home games, we've been out of the games in 14 minutes and was it eight yesterday? You know, we're two goals down against, and we're never going to score three. We're not going to come out in the second half with this team and not concede another goal. So you're going to have to score four to win a game. And it's just, we need to just stem the midfield. If that's packing it, that's what we need to do. If we've not got players that are good enough to do it in a two, then get three of them in there, but have two proper, you know, play Harry Cliff, play Harry Clifton wide, you know, wide right. So at least, you know, we've seen that from him before. He's going to track back if, you know, we're saying he's got his limitations, but you know, one of the things that he won't do is give up and not track back, which is what some of these are doing. You know, there's worse than playing him out there, or even play a 4-4-2 if you like. I mean, you know, there's maybe they would modern day, probably tactics would come into it and this and that and the other. But, you know, I've Rose and Vernon playing off Rose, for, you know, he was knackered yesterday. But in the first half, he was our best player. Get him playing off Danny Rose. I mean, yesterday we brought the subs on. I know we were out of the game by then, but we ended up with four forward players on the. Well, we had Danny Rose, we had this lad from Star Wars, and we had the two, Pike and Wilson, were all on the pitch. But we didn't have a fucking clue what we were. We didn't have a plan by that point. We were just, oh, we need some goals, so let's bring on some forwards. And I think actually the last couple of goals, that probably we'd weakened the midfield, didn't we? Because we'd taken off Andrews and Green, hadn't we? I think. I sound like I was actually paying attention. You know, and that last goal where they absolutely, again, another one where they cut through us, we've got midfield, we've got forwards that were sort of halfway up the pitch in midfield position. We just lost the plot, and that you know, the substitutions had lost the plot. But that's what we, you know, even at 3-1, we're not sort of shutting up shop and sort of saying, right, we've had a bad day, we're just getting carved apart. And that last goal, and I'll shut up and let somebody else talk in a minute, that last goal though, where he cut in, and I haven't watched it again because I just delete the goals show without even watching it nowadays. Did a defender just sell himself, or did he have an option that the defender couldn't? Because he just seemed to cut inside and just put it in the corner so easily. I mean, what? How did it go? And I'll stop there.
Sorry, I'm just going to watch it now. I wish I
could remember. I do know. I think it was a fourth goal when the penalty area was full of players, and they just made three passes in the 18-yard box, I think, and then just slotted it in, and that typified it for me. From memory, I think you're right, Bruce, that he just sold him and went round and slotted it in.
Well, he cut in from their left wing, didn't he? With our right back.
Yeah.
And he just basically seemed to just be able to just have all the time in the world to shift. I've only seen it once to shift it. Sort of outside a little bit, and that just created enough space for him to just put it easily in the corner. Is that?
Yeah, I don't think it was in the corner.
You've just watched it back. You've watched it back. You're absolutely right. And also, he's hardly fired it in. It's sort of dribbled over the line a bit, really.
Yeah, but could our defender not commit because he had options to lay it back? Because it just seemed like he was one on one, and he just shifted it to the right, which was the most. Sort of obvious thing because of the whereabouts on the pitch, he wasn't going to go wider. He shifted it inside. And who's our right back these days? Is it Hume?
No, Smith.
Hume's the left back. Hume's the left back.
Yeah, sorry. It just all looked so soft. And that's from one of these new players that we've signed that's, supposed to be giving, you know, I might be, like I say, it may be one incident late in the game, I don't know, but it just looked so easy.
Right, well, is anybody you want to add fire to in terms of a particular player that you'd like to signal out as being good or shitter than the rest?
Danny Rose does not deserve this shit.
Fine. Okay. And then I guess what I'd like to, for anyone who says that the players don't get any stick, we've just spent half an hour tearing them apart, much like Doncaster, Walsall, Notts County and everybody else. The one question I want to ask everyone, because one thing I think I expect of a team in a relegation battle is to outwork the opposition. In the last three home games, have you seen do you believe the players have outworked the opposition? I've got to say no.
Not a chance.
Not a prayer.
No.
But what we've done in the last two home games, we're a side low on confidence and we've shipped two goals in the first quarter of an hour.
That's going to lead on to
their Reds are going to go down, aren't they? They're a side that's weak, low on confidence, and we're letting in two early goals, which in itself is bad. But naturally that's going to knock the whole game, isn't it? Here we go again, and I've got 75 minutes I've got to get through now because we're not going to win this game.
Well, I'd suggest they're going to get used to it.
The energy levels, you're right, we've been outworked. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that I think that's a contributing factor. It's a shit contributing factor, but I do think it's a factor in that the heads are going to have gone a little bit because, like the fans, because we've gone down so quickly. We've just got to stay in. Somebody put, we need to stay in games longer. It's blatantly obvious.
Let's move on. Yeah. We're shit, so we don't work hard is not the excuse I'm looking for. Let's go on to Artel. We'll be back in. Go get a very quick coffee or have a shot. So, Dave Artel is still here. Jason Stockwood has given him the much loved vote of confidence. We put a poll out yesterday. Granted, it was halfway through the second half, but let's face it, there was nothing else for any of us to do. 80% of people wanted him out. I don't believe there is we've had a more disliked manager in my time as a town fan, and I include Holloway because he wasn't disliked when he went. People wanted him to stay, and even Slade. And even, I can't even think, Nicky Laws, probably, Bruce, is the only other one I can imagine that's been disliked, but not as vehemently as Dave Artel. Is he the main problem? Because, I'll be honest, I can't stand the bloke at the moment.
I think he is. And regrettably, I think there's only one decision that can be made. I think whether we make it now or we make it later on, it's still having to be made. At the minute, we've got 6 points, a game in hand and two games in hand. You know, so we've got a bit of a buffer. But looking at what's been going on the last couple of games, I cannot for the life of me see how that can turn around. There's no improvement there. And, you know, I've said this to you guys earlier. I've been thinking the last few days, and I'm starting to think that Sean and Ben turned it around. Artel had a decent-ish start on the back of that, and it's got progressively worse because the more time he has with these players, the worse the performances get and the worse the results get. You know, it's not seeing any sign of improvement. So, I looked at the last 27 games, 9 games before Hurst left, 9 games after, and 9 games after that. Yeah. So when Hurst left, he had 1 win, 1 draw, 7 losses. Yeah. 0.44 points per game. After he left, Ben and Sean steady the ship a bit. I don't think anybody will say they were playing prime Barcelona football, but, you know, they got a couple of results. The 9 games after he left, 3 wins, 5 draws and a loss. So we got 10 points out of 18, 1.6 a game. Now, we've only got one more draw than what Hurst had when he was sacked. So it's getting worse. And I just think since he's come in, he's not been able to get across what he needs to get across. And we're not in a position to give it chance to work. Dave Artel, to me, I like the bloke, actually, but I think he should go. And I think he's the sort of manager you want to come in 5-10 games before the end of the season when it's all done and dusted to have the end of the season, a pre-season to do this sort of thing. I don't think he can get the style of football we need to be playing to get out of this across sort of on the job. This is not something you can learn on the fly and hope you don't go down. So I think he's the right manager at the wrong time, but I can't see how we can not make a change. I can't see it. We're losing games by too big a margin. You know, you can have a debate about how are the players playing and, you know, what does the body language look like? But how do you turn this around, honestly? You know, we're told about data. Data is what dictates what we do. Now, I'm fully behind that. That's the way the world's going, the way football's going. Well, the data tells you he's got one more point than when you sack Paul Hurst. I can't see an argument for keeping him. Honestly, can't.
And does that point include the MK Dons draw, where he had 45 minutes with him?
It includes MK Dons, Oxford away, which obviously hasn't got a point. So it's MK Dons, Crewe and Newport. So I've allowed him 3 league games still under the Ben and Sean. You know, he'd not had long here. They sort of carried that on.
Yeah, he can't take any credit for the MK Dons thing.
Yeah, no, he'd had 20 minutes. So I've given 3 league games just to be able to do 2 stints of 9 games. But the last 9 games he's had, he's lost 6, he's drawn 2, he's won 1. We've scored 13, conceded 25, 0.55 points a game. That's just not...
He's also conceded more goals in the league than Hurst had for this season as well. And he's played 4 games less in the league.
We've conceded 5 more goals than Hurst last 9 games. We've scored 2 more. There's no different. Holloway had 2 more points before he left.
Time up.
Do you think the players had enough of a punishment by having to listen to him trawl on for an hour after the game? Or do you think they needed more punishment than that?
I think that's the problem.
Certainly if he's anything like he's in his interviews in the dressing room, I'd find it hard to listen to him for an hour. I could listen to Hurstie all day, but I just don't like listening to this bloke. Anyway, sorry, you've been making.
I don't like being here because I think I'm quite understanding managers. I probably go longer than most at giving them enough time and maybe giving them too much time and waiting. But you just look at that. The longer he has with this team, the worse they have got. It's just simple. And we're not in a position where we can wait to make this decision. If we lose at the weekend and Forest Green win, that's 3 points. We're already banging trouble. You're even worse in trouble then.
Then we play Forest Green the week after that. At home, I mean, if we lose on Saturday and he's still here for Forest Green, which is a perfectly feasible scenario, if you ask me, Blundell Park's going to be horrendous that day.
It's an incredible thing that Town fans, as one, have taken against him so quickly. It'd be interesting to understand people's opinions as to why it is, because is it just the heavy nature of the defeats? I think it's a lot of the attitude he comes in with. He's come in with an attitude like he understands football more than anyone, which is fine. He's a manager, but at the same time, he's come in almost like a prophet and he's saying, don't you worry. You have no idea. I'll sort it. I'll fix it. You've got to trust the process. And I said, well, we just lost 6-1 to Walsall. I don't know. I've never seen a reaction by the Town fans. And everyone beats up on us as fans, but let's be honest. I don't think many clubs have had a shitter time in the Football League than Town fans have over the last 10, 15 years. I think they're pretty patient, but they also understand when a team stink and when they're relegated, non-league bound, because we know it better than anyone.
Yeah, I think there's something in that. It's the fear of non-league again. So we know what a non-league, we know what side that gets relegated to non-league looks like, don't we? Better than practically anybody. And this looks like one. So we're all just desperate to do something. It is an act of desperation to do whatever it takes to make sure that doesn't happen again. I actually made my mind up about Artel after the Tranmere game, even though bizarrely that was the sort of fine that we only lost by the odd goal in that one, but I thought it was the worst performance. I didn't sign to vocalise it on here and public at that time. I told a couple of my friends, but
you told us.
What are you going to say, Bruce?
At the time, I mean, I told it this morning that it, but that really kind of thought this guy hasn't got a clue because he's just, the players don't understand what he's now. Maybe if you've got the right players,
it's almost like I said, what did you say, Bruce? And he just kept going. about how you don't like him at since Tranmere. What don't you like about him at Tranmere then?
I was just going to say that what I think what's different here is that he hasn't come in and done what you would expect a new manager to come in and do. You know, he hasn't come in and tried to shore us up. And I suppose having said that, we weren't shipping, like you say, we weren't losing by massive margins like we are now. But it's just, now I don't think, don't get me wrong, I don't remember yesterday, I don't think we particularly did. Like Mike says, we were a bit more direct yesterday than we have been. You know, I don't think any of yesterday, it was down to this playing out from the back. And I think the frustration, I think the playing out, the fan frustration at the playing out from the back is more around the performance of the team than it is about the fact that we're trying to play out from the back. If the team was doing a bit better and we could see shoots of recovery, then I just think that he's come in and he's just trying to sort of, he's not addressed what you would expect a new manager to make. He's not made us hard to beat. But then having said that, Paul Hurst is a good manager, Sam, isn't he?
Yeah, Paul Hurst is a damn good
manager. And how was he getting on with these players he signed in the summer? Badly. So I think the problem is the whole thing looks rotten at the minute. It doesn't look right. It doesn't look like they're happy playing like he's trying to tail them, but they weren't happy trying to do what Paul Hurst couldn't get a tune out of them.
I think they were taking their role under Hurst.
But Paul Hurst signed them. Sorry?
Yeah, I think they were giving more under Hurst. They were more competitive under Hurst than they are now.
What was Mike's stat? We'd lost seven out of the last nine or something.
I'm not disputing.
Yeah, no,
They might have been trying a little bit harder for Paul Hurst, but they're still not good enough for me. Most of them.
No, I get what Sam says. You know, I have a big problem with how they look on the playing football at the minute. I have a big issue with the body language that's going on that pitch. I might be overreading it, but I didn't have that issue under Hurst. I had an issue with the quality and the game plan and things like that. But I never looked at them and thought, oh my God, you know, are they, you know, we score fourth and everyone's just, oh, you know, they're just all moping round.
We're sort of agreeing, aren't we? Then my first bit about the fact that he hasn't come in and done the basics, he's tried to change it, revolutionise it, rather than what you would expect, is probably why people are not understanding what he's trying to do and how he's trying to keep us up. Because if he's here for 3 years, or two, is he 2 years, 2.5 years he's signed? If he's here till the end of the 20, whatever, it doesn't matter, 2.5 years, then so what if we have to play one way and we have to play one way that does not quite how he wants to play, but it gets us to where we need to get to this season. You know, if we'd have sort of solidified a little bit and we'd got harder to beat, he might have had that 8 or 10 games at the end of the season that you're talking about, Mike, where he could have then started to build for next season, left out your Kieran Greens and people like that, your dogs of war, and players like that, because we've done what we needed to do. You know, phase out the players that he's not going to re-sign in the summer, and then you go again. But you've got to, when you come into a team that's in a relegation fight, you've got to do the basics and get to where you need to get to before you do anything else. And I think that's why the fans are taking, don't get me, you know, the scoreline, but that's why they're taking umbrage, because I don't think we're doing those basics. We're not hard to beat. Like you say, we've gone the other way and we've got a soft underbelly that is going to relegate us if we're not careful.
I agree. I think we didn't lose in six league games, and I think we thought it was done. I think.
Jamie Roberts asked, does Mike know if any single stat has improved under David Artell apart from pounds per goal watched at Blundell Park?
The gates have gone up.
Yeah. I know we've
had the big clubs.
Stop what can talk about. Jason can talk about sticking together and stuff, but he's going to have a bigger problem next year when 3,000 people buy a season ticket, because they're not going to, people aren't going to keep coming back to this. There was moanings before the season, you know, when we'd only won 3 home games until we rallied at the end the season before. And then, you know, they're watching this. It's not going to be 6,000. And again, sold out, and it's apparently what was the attendance yesterday?
7,500, wasn't it?
Blundell Park isn't big enough. Build summit. Get on with it.
Just well, to go
not
back.
Not that you might need it, actually.
To just go back on Jamie Roberts' point, I've just done a quick look. Artell's first 9 league games, he scored one more goal than Hurst's last 9 league games, and that's the only thing I can see that's improved. One more goal.
Woo. Celebrate good times. Come on.
What I said earlier, though, our sort of goals scored isn't that dissimilar in the first six to the last six. It's how easy we are to score against. And like you say, we've got worse. Yeah. We've got worse. And why is that? And I think they're all to blame. The manager and the players, but they're not doing the simple things, and they're not giving themselves a chance in games.
What I would give for a man managing motivator for the next few games when we play Sutton and Forest Green. That's what I'd want, because I think those two games keep us up.
Yeah,
you want Mike Bassett kind of just rally the troop kind of thing.
No, he's not.
Mike Ramirez.
Yeah, three cheers.
I think he played 4-4 past it now.
No, hang on. I'm not having this. Mike Bassett is not I'm not putting him as the epitome of a man manager. Give over yourselves. I mean, just bring someone in that can, you know, rally the troops and get.
Can we give it Big Sam?
Clearly, Sam's not fat. Get over it. Don't be mean to him. He's only little. Right. You know, I've lost my point now that Bruce give a shit.
Bring in Mr. Motivator. Those couple of games are going to say whether we're going to go up or down. That's what you're saying, mate.
I think they're the games that are going to come will tell whether or not.
I think you've got to change something. You cannot change the players. Because if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what we've always got. There's no improvement. Yes, you can't change the players. The only thing you can change is the manager. And I don't think giving it to Sean and Ben for the rest of the season is a bad thing, because I bloody well trust them. I trust them to be able to communicate a message and to get a team playing some football, because I've seen it. I've seen it when they took over from Hurst, who had a similar run. They turned it around and got some results. You know, so without looking around and seeing if there's any great managers that are available at the minute, which they're probably not, over Artell and Sean and Ben, I would trust Sean and Ben a lot more than I trust David Artell at the minute to do this. Because we're banging trouble. Absolutely are.
See, if we carry on like this, we'll get no more points. I mean, I know that's the hyperbolic thing to say, but if we carry on like yesterday and against Stockport and against Tranmere, we'll get no more points. And bollocks that away form rubbish.
Not if you support Town. It's not hyperbolic. Don't worry about it. 25 games without a win, we went once. Don't you worry about it, Sam. We can do it. Don't expect it's not an achievable target.
I've seen 22, 20 and 25 in my time supporting Town. Which is why the thing about this is what it gets, it's the non-league thing, isn't it? We all said, I remember Bruce very clearly saying that when we got promoted last time, it was the most important promotion in the club's history. Because we all assumed then, because we were now properly run, that we would never end up going back there and it was really hard to get out of, and now we can really kick on as a club. What this is now showing is that this is what we are. And we're going to have to somehow try and spend some consistent time in League Two to re-establish ourselves as a league club. And if we drop into the non-league again, you're a non-league club.
You're non-league Grimsby, aren't you?
We're already back to that, aren't we? We're already back to that now. No longer are we FA Cup quarter finalists, mid tier, going in the right direction. We're again relegation fodder. We're Grimsby Town are the Carlisle of the 90s, aren't we? We're just, you know, always there, having to expect Jimmy Glass to come on and save our asses in the last minute. And it's an embarrassment. And these players are an embarrassment. And we've talked about it before. They've had so much thrown at them and they give us fuck all. 7,000 there yesterday when the championship teams had 3,000 there, and they give us absolutely fuck all. And they got rid of a well-liked manager, and they're going to get rid of a manager that nobody likes.
and one thing he did say in his interview that stuck out to me is he said the players have been honest, and we know he was in there for about 80 minutes. So that tells me that's another alarm bell. What can the players be honest about? They're obviously telling him something. They're not saying, sorry, Gaff, it's our fault. No, if it's taken 80 minutes to have an honest conversation, then that means there's a problem.
Maybe they had a Domino's pizza challenge on Friday night, see who could eat the most, and they just owned up to him in the dressing room after.
Who's a... So do we think it is money related why they're not, or do we think it's a, do we think this is a kind of...
So Hurst is on about 100, so managers at this level are about 125 grand a year. So if he's on a 3-year contract, you can do the maths on that. So it would cost us at least 300 grand to get rid of him if he gets his full whack, unless there's something in his contract. That's the Conte money gone. I mean, personally, I think that's worth money well spent because he's not changing it, but I can understand the reticence against it because it also says something about them as owners, because, and what manager would then want to come to a club that sacked their manager after, you know, 3 months.
Well, I think most, I get your point, Alex. I think most managers would be able to look at that and see the circumstance. They would also look at Paul and see that he was given a lot of time. What I would say is if it's monetary, then that should be a no-brainer, because the money you would lose compared to going out of into non-league is incomparable, right? No, there's ways around things. They're clever business people. There's ways around things. You can finance things. You can also, you don't have to sack him. You can just put him on gardening leave and pay him every week. So you're not forking out 300 grand right now. You can say, right, we're paying you 5 grand, you know, whatever it is, every week. So it's easier budgetary wise. So it shouldn't be a financial decision, you know, and it's easier to say with other people's money. I get that. But the money the club would lose compared to getting rid of him, compared to going out of the league, it's incomparable. You know, what do they say? That one season out of the league costs us nearly £1 million. So that's three times what?
1.4.
So that's four times what we're assuming would be the payout. That's just incomparable.
That's assuming if we come straight back up the following season as well. So what was I going to say again? So the owners are kind of, they're going to have to review the, so Jason made a big song and dance, didn't he, about his recruitment process, which is fine, which is what we wanted, obviously. But it's not. But they've cocked it up. And the real criticism I would have of them now is, if they're sticking to it financially, it might be financial. Or is it a kind of, we identified, we picked him, Hurst was basically inherited, and we're going to kind of struggle to admit we're wrong. Is there something in that?
Hurst was not inherited. Hurst came on knowing full well they were taken on. But I agree with everything else.
I don't think it's struggling to admit that they're wrong, Sam. I think they're both successful enough that, and we've seen within the club, haven't we, how quickly people have moved on at times. So I don't think that's something to level at them. I just think but I don't know what to think. But I just don't think that's the case.
So Ben Yule has asked So if you don't want Artel, who do you want? I'll go with Andy Woodman. I want that annoying prick as our manager. I want to get him to focus all that anger and all that hatred into our midfield and, you know, back to basics.
Is Mr. Widdrington listening?
Mr. Widdrington is very quiet today.
Sean and Ben.
If we appointed Woodman, of course, it would probably discombobulate Bromley's season, so it would at least mean they'd stay in non-league as well, which meant if he kept us up, we'd have to play him next season.
It's just the idea that Bromley are actually a more attractive offer than we are.
The only reason I say Sean and Ben is not because I think they're the long-term solution or the desired outcome. I think in the circumstances and the place we find ourselves, he's listening. The circumstances we find ourselves, I think they're probably the best suited to be able to get results quickly. And for those not watching, Tommy Widdrington did say he is listening.
He said yes first. I think he had to add a caveat to it, as in, yes, I'm listening.
Just clarify.
Yeah, they're not a long-term decision for a brighter future, aren't Ben and Sean, but they're kind of, the performances they put in, although weren't great, they will, if they can replicate those, they would keep us in the league. Then we can appoint another manager in the summer.
I am absolutely on board for this, Mark. Let's fuck it. Let's just do it. Buckley Mark 4. Ben, so here's your deal, Mike. Ben and Sean manage. He is the oversight director of football, giving them a hand, giving them the thing. Buckley Mark 4 is back.
I did say something similar to you, I think. I said, give it to Ben and Sean. Is there any ex-Town players that are doing well in management that we could emotionally blackmail to come and give us a hand for a few weeks?
We saw how many turned up for that charity game, so we might be up for it. You imagine, you have Liam Hearn. Liam Hearn can play up front, actually, after watching that charity game. But him and Danny Rose up front. Yeah.
Get Pouts in.
Gary Croft.
I think we need to stop inviting these former players back as well at the moment, just until things are sorted out, because bloody hell. Do you want to come and watch Town, and you're like, oh, right, yeah, we've lost 5-1 to Doncaster. Yeah, here's Kev Drinkle, who played for Rangers, who scored 100 goals, mostly in the second tier for Town, and yeah, and but these poor lads, they keep bringing them back, and all right, the fish and chips is nice, but give them the fish and chips and then just let them go home. Don't make them sit and watch the game. And I wish Kev had stopped bloody thanking the opposition fans for coming. It does my head in. It's absolutely. Yesterday they were still jumping around celebrating the fourth, and he just reeled off who'd scored, and then we went straight into the attendance. Oh, we'd like to thank the 1,400 and whatever it was Doncaster fans or whatever. We hope you have a safe journey home and have enjoyed your day. They just gone fucking 4-1 up.
Yeah, what do you want them off. To do, Bruce? What do you want them to do? Crash the coach on the M18?
When have you ever been to bloody any away game? Oh, we'd like to thank all the Grimsby fans for coming. You know, that's because they beat us fucking 5-0. But
everybody beats us fucking 5-0, Bruce.
No. We need to stop them coming. I'm sick and tired of the Osmond bouncing around, enjoying themselves, taking the piss on our patch. Need to grow some balls and start performing.
Are you talking to Kev there, the PA announcer, or are you talking Kev, about
you
the
need
players?
To stop. You need to stop announcing and thanking them for coming. You can say how many there are.
It's all Kev's fault,
but not the word thanks. No, so just when I'm sat there with my head in my hands and we're generally three or four goals behind the opposition, I don't want to hear that we're really delighted that the Doncaster travelling supporters have come and that we hope they've had a great day.
And time allowed. What's time allowed?
Oh, that used to wind up my granddad no end, that did. Time allowed. He has a real beanie's bonnet about that.
Can I just go back to what Sam said? Is I don't think they've made the wrong decision. I think they made the right decision maybe at the wrong time.
Yeah, and during a football season.
No, and I think with regards to what Bruce said, I don't think there'll be anything that stops them making a decision if they honestly think it is. I think they're clever people that have the best interests at heart, and they'll make the decision they need to make when they need to make it. I hate to be in this situation, but I just think there's no other solution. You know, and I'm usually the last one that comes here.
To this. Reece, who's a Doncaster fan, says he did have a great day, though, for what it's worth.
Oh, I'm glad you did.
Eat your fish and chips and fuck off.
I hope we see you next season, Reece.
Yeah, we're both going down. Oh, there we go. Anything else you want to add? And I don't want to have a go at the owners. They're doing great, and I love them all sincerely. They're doing a great job. But, you know, I disagree with Mike. I think they picked the wrong bloke. Yeah. I wasn't excited when he came in, and I'm fucking disappointed now.
Well, maybe, but I don't think that was a widely held view, though. You know, I was happy, so I can't say now different because I was happy at the time. But, you know, I can't revise that. I think hindsight.
Does anyone want to buy a load of David Artell stickers as well?
Oh my god!
Have you got the Artell cartel flag on order?
I fucking haven't. Thank you very much.
Thank God you haven't replaced it yet. But I, in all seriousness, I should be thinking like that, but I can't think about changing the manager yet. I just think 12 games, it's mental. I probably should be, but I can't think. In my head, I'm thinking, and you'll say it's bollocks, but we have done all right away from home. And we've had this building pressure at home where we've got shitter and shitter. I want to see us go to Morecambe and put in a performance like we put in at Accrington.
I don't think the point's going to save us, Bruce. We need a fucking win.
but we should have won. We should have won at Accrington. We didn't, but we should have done. But I think it's going to go quiet on that front now until after that game. But like you say, if that turns and then you've got Forest Green at home, how's he going to come back with 21 goals conceded at home in the last handful of games? I don't know.
Well, I think I think one thing is important is that, you know, we voice our opinions and what have you. I think it's, if the owners decide they're sticking with him, I think that's the decision and that's what we sort of have to stick to. It's no good as banging on every 5 minutes about it. You know, if he's the manager that's trying to keep us up now, which is the situation we're in, then he'll have my support. I just happen to think we need to do something. But
I completely agree. I don't think everyone will go for that, but I tweeted the other day, and I know it's an old cliche, but if we got relegated, he would go more. I mean, well, it'd be amazing if he stayed. I mean, amazing as in it would be incredible. Sort of the fact that it happened. I wouldn't be partial.
He's back.
But the thing is though that most of these players would be gone. The manager would be gone, and it's also the fans that are left with the club.
Bruce,
we would be left with a non-league club. So whatever we think, we've got to give them our full backing. And I think the fans were all up for that yesterday, and then just had absolutely everything knocked out of them in the first 8 or 9 minutes. I think the fans were up. They were singing. All the stands were singing yesterday. Yeah. They were ready to go. There'd been the rallying call. We'd all been bigging it up all week, and the players let us down
again.
But we have to keep backing them, and we have to keep trying to get something out of them, because if we stay up, most of them will be gone in the summer, but we'll be a Football League club. If we all start getting on the backs all the time and they get shitter and shitter and shitter, if that's possible, then we become a non-league club, and we're basically, you know, whatever we think, we've got to go and support, at least at the start of the game. Give them the opportunity and give them the backing that no one can turn around and say the fans didn't back them, because it's one thing backing them in numbers, but we need to support them. I'm convinced yesterday was going to be bouncing. We just fucked it up in the first 10 minutes.
It was the same against Stockport the previous week, wasn't it? The crowd were right behind us for the first 4 minutes, whatever it was. I don't know. It just kind of, we've changed ownerships, we've changed managers, we've changed players every bloody season, and yet here we are again. Like, what, are we just cursed for perpetual shitness? Is this just a Grimsby thing?
No, I mean, I think there's lots at the football club that's better than it used to be, but we are back in the same situation. I think Bruce is right. This is what we've got to support. This is what we've got to support. You know, there's
what
nothing
do with all these.
There's going to be no change. And one thing I would say is, don't fall out with each other. You know, if somebody else has a different opinion on it, don't start falling out with each other. You know, there's a bit of that I heard yesterday with people having a bit of arguments with each other. Don't do that. We're all Town fans.
I've got loads of these.
Yeah. Keep them.
You'll be sticking them all over next season on the promotion march.
I'll be sticking them up ironically, I believe. Anyway.
Alex, you looked in. I've just been informed by somebody who would know that Woodman's contract is up at the end of the season, so it won't cost much.
Yes.
To get him out.
Yeah, Oriental Express, one, didn't he?
Oriental Express, get that buffet started. Woodman's coming.
Woodman and Evans.
Well, I'd rather Woodman and Evans.
I'll tell you what, he's a serial winner, Steve Evans. I don't want to, anyway, I think we need to go, but yeah, he seems to had a few promotions and a few burgers and pies as well.
There's one comment down here about the look at the success Barrow had, and there was somebody that made a very good point on Radio Humberside yesterday, is they appointed Jolly, if you remember, and they were banging trouble, and they, after 8 games, changed it when they realised the way they were going. So there is a bit of ruthlessness I think you need to have, and Barrow did it a couple of years ago.
And they got in a decent manager from it as well. But it's interesting what's going to happen. Well, it's not interesting. It's fucking terrifying, let's be entirely honest. But, you know, we'll be there watching it, swearing at it. Hopefully they'll, you know, work out what our defence is, and we might get a, you know, Bruce is hoping for a whole point against Morecambe. So, you know, we might get it and then we'll be fine. Because, you know, apparently our away record is really good, even though it isn't.
He's banging trouble if we get hammered next week, isn't he? I think.
Well, he can't talk about this apparent mystical away form that he's seeing that I'm not.
No, I'm not going next week. I'm on a right rubbish run of attendance at the moment. But I would agree, Bruce, if I was there, I'd be backing them all the way for the first 4 minutes or whatever.
What are you going to say, Bruce?
Hi.
Are we done? Bruce again.
No, I was ready. You were wrapping up, and then we sort of. This is the 10 minutes rambling, isn't it, at the end where you can sort of switch off that a few minutes early.
I think it applies to the entire thing, to be honest, that mate.
Yeah, true. How's the numbers, Alex? Have they dropped from the 150 peak?
No, 185.
Bloody hell! There's some sad poke about it. Watched it yesterday, and now they're going reliving it. Like you say, it's like a therapy session, isn't it?
Bruce, what story can you tell everyone to cheer them up? I've got the music ready.
What story?
Does any of his stories cheer us up?
Did I tell you about the time we lost two girls on the French trip at school?
No, go on then.
Mike, you listen most weeks. No, I haven't told you.
I don't listen to you then, mate.
We were in Paris on the school French trip. I noticed that my old school, St. James, they posted a video of the children on the in Paris on a trip. And, we lost two girls in Paris. Back in the day, you know, in the old days where you could, as long as there were two of you, you didn't have any mobile phones or anything. You just had to be back at the Place de Concorde at whatever time to go and get the ferry back to
Place de Concorde.
Yeah, I remember it clear as day.
Anyway, was there a car park in this story, Bruce? A car park?
We all sat there in the bus. It's a big car park, the Place de Concorde, mate. Anyway, we sat on the bus and we waited. Luxury. We waited and we waited. Like I say, no mobile phones, nothing. These two girls, thick as pig shit. They just wandered off into Paris, couldn't find the way back. Anyway, we had to leave them. So the French teacher's husband, who had come on the trip, Hedley Banks, I remember his name, he waited behind to see if he could, you know, go to lost property and find these girls. Anyway, we set off on the coach. We got a couple of blocks around the corner, and there they were, like a miracle, sobbing on the street, on a street corner, that they couldn't find their way back.
They'd moved on quick.
So we collected them on the bus, but we didn't have time to go back for poor Hedley, and there was no mobile phones. So we went to Paris. We went to Calais, sorry. And Hedley had to stay in Paris and make his own way back because we didn't have time to go and get him. And that's today's story. Did it cheer you up?
It did something. I don't think cheer is the right word or applicable.
Have the numbers dropped now, Alex?
Let me have a look. Sorry.
Really, Bruce.
160.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got, yes. Yes. Right, we're off.
I'm just trying to find it. My work colleague is incredible. She is the weirdest person. And she's got a Facebook page set up by co-workers, not us, her previous people, about the weird things she says. And I was trying to find it, but I'll find it for next week because it's odd. It really is odd. But there we go. Thank you, everyone, for listening, taking your time to join us. You never know. We might be reporting on 3 points next week, most likely for Morecambe. But, you know, it might be all right. You never know. At least someone whose ground is by the sea is going to get 3 points next week. Will it be us? No. Or will it be Morecambe? Most likely. We will find out then. Or it could be a draw. Yes, that is also a result, Mike. but it's not likely to. We might do a space at some point. If you're all still angry in the midweek, we might do it then. But at least, you know, we all feel a bit better. Thank you all so much for joining us. We shall see you soon. Tarty bye. Open wide for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be on a stand more than my life around here. They're going crazy.
Gee, they got plenty here. They've been fish flying about there. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece of...